I said that we don't have any, we don't think anything special about these because we already believe in so many different types of them.
That this year graduate, and to can sound the perverse of the Ladakh is to your it. Ladakh is meant to go. Ladakh is the perverse of Chenny, Ladakh was a film gives you the Mongolian water.
Now, there are some films that have been taken in Ladakh recently. And they're taking the place, Ladakh is taking the place of Tibet nowadays. And there are some very strange gods of the area there. And at the Smithsonian Museum, I saw a film. And somebody was taking a sword and cutting
at his tongue.
There's a great danger of misunderstanding in English because people translate this kind of local mundane deity as deity and translate the deities of highest yoga tantra who are super mundane again with the same word deity.
Now under the Tagatwa Sore, Sajjita, Peyum Nere Dudu Tehti, Tawa Dinde Dhe, and the Jigden Be Tehti.
These sorts of mundane deities who take possession of people are just mundane ones. They're nothing special. And they're just like us in that they have desire and hatred. And in the course of our lives, we have been born like that, they've been born like us, and so forth. In Vasubandhu's Treasury of Knowledge, lifespans are explained with respect to this kind of mundane deity that's included within the three realms of cyclic existence. But there are different presentations of the lifespans, types of deities, the structure of the world system, and so forth. In the Kala Chakra as opposed to Vasubandhu's Treasury of Knowledge and so forth. And a different system again is explained in the Sutra on establishment of the four mindfulnesses. Now from the Buddhist point of view, people have limitlessly different types of good and bad karmas, and due to them, beings appear in limitlessly different ways. But then with respect to the super mundane deities, there are two major types. Those who are bodhisattvas who have attained the path of seeing, a superior path, and those who have attained the path of no more learning, those who are Buddhas.
And among
And then among those who appear as bodhisattvas, there are two types, those who are actually Buddhas but appear as bodhisattvas, and those who actually are bodhisattvas and appear as bodhisattvas. And among those who actually are Buddhas or are Bodhisattvas, there are many who appear as protectors. For instance, Mahakala and Mahakali and so forth, as I saw earlier. But then those deities who are in the mandalas are super mundane. In Yoga Tantra, there are some mandalas which have even 1,000 deities. Many of these are cases of all of the deities being emanations of one sinful deity. For instance, in the mandala of Guhya Samaja, there are 32 deities, the 31 being the appearances of the factors of purification of the constituents of that one person. For instance, the purified factors of the five aggregates, the four constituents, the six sources, and the six senses, and the branches. Thus, even though there are many deities appearing in the mandala, really there's only one being there. Among protectors and among personal deities, there are two main types, those that are peaceful and those that are wrathful. Now the main reason for a person's practicing deity yoga is to achieve the supreme feat of Buddhahood. From the point of view, from the point of view of the four tantra systems in general, the path is comprised of the yoga of the profound and the manifest. The profound being the wisdom realizing emptiness, and the manifest being the appearance of that consciousness, that wisdom consciousness, as a divine circle. The uncommon or special practice that is in highest yoga tantra involves the usage of subtler minds. In the context of this topic, the three bodies of the ordinary state are explained, and then the three bodies of the effect state as a Buddha. And the means of actualizing these is independence. Independence upon the three bodies of the ordinary state, one actualizes or causes to appear the three bodies of the path state, independence upon which the three bodies of the effect state are achieved. For instance, with respect to the three bodies of the ordinary state, our ordinary death is the truth body of the ordinary state. And for instance, if one is going to be reborn as a human, there is a bardo or intermediate state, and that is the complete enjoyment body of the ordinary state. And then the point of birth, or actually conception, is the emanation body of the ordinary state. But then, if one applies the three bodies to one day, sleep is the truth body, that's thick sleep or deep sleep. Dream is the complete enjoyment body. And to awake from sleep is the emanation body. Now, with respect to the middling type of feat that one is seeking to achieve, there are the eight accomplishments or eight feats. And the lower type of feats are comprised by the activities of pacification and so forth. Now, in the Kira's scriptures, there is no case explained of an afflictive emotion being used in the path. However, in the Bodhisattva, the Sutra Bodhisattva vehicle, there is an explanation of using afflictive emotions as aids in the path, such as desire. Just desire. But then in Tantra, there is also an explanation of hatred being used in the path. The usage of hatred in the path refers just to the time of that hatred when it is being used in the path. It doesn't refer to the time prior when one is setting up one's motivation, during which the motivation is just compassion. With the causal motivation as compassion, then at the time of the actual practice, one for a specific purpose utilizes hatred in the path. The technique of using hatred in the path is based on the fact that when we get angry, a very energetic and powerful mind is generated. And when one is trying to achieve a fierce activity, this makes a difference. And it is from this point of view, from the point of view of the usage of hatred in this way in the past, that there come to be wrathful deities. Now, in the hands of many deities, there are skulls, and in the skull is blood. And some ornament that's like a human skull. And when a supermoon deity will have five of these, which symbolize the five exalted wisdoms. The five Buddha lineages. And the skulls. The technique of using hatred in the path is based on the fact that when we get angry, a very energetic and powerful mind is generated. And when one is trying to achieve a fierce activity, this makes a difference. And it is from this point of view, from the point of view of the usage of hatred in this way in the past, that there come to be wrathful deities. Now, in the hands of many deities, there are skulls, and in the skull is blood. And some ornament that's like a human skull. And when a supermoon deity will have five of these, which symbolize the five exalted wisdoms. The five Buddha lineages. And the skull symbolizes impermanence. And it signifies the selflessness of a corpse. I made a mistake. The skull symbolizes lack of ownership or selflessness. The skull, the blood in the skull? For instance, Chakrasambara has in a hand a skull with blood in it.
Digi, gabli digi, ditsam kasa chukuti. Dawatsam.
The skull signifies bliss.
Kato, dawa kamshue dewe ten sawati lebali yashayong. Jul shayong.
The constituent which causes the generation of bliss mainly has its locus at the top inside of the head. In Virginia, a doctor was explaining that the source of the generation of semen is here in the head, the ultimate source of it. And thus the skull symbolizes bliss. And the blood symbolizes the blood symbolizes the mind realizing emptiness. Thus the skull with blood in it symbolizes the emptiness and bliss.
자상어
Thus this is the type of explanation that is required for a wrathful deity.
다 디지디기 떠발이야 떠바 탕면 나라라 취지 가서 취지 꿀에 미유신도 취지 꿀에 미유신도 자다 참발에 미유신도 생다지 따발에 자
In the praises of these deities, it's always mentioned that they don't stir from the truth body and that they don't stir from compassion.
개디 상아 중에지기 닌지 냠니 제아 마중어 제니 에니 마게 따가소리 그나 자고
If somebody who attempted to practice Tantra did not have the prerequisite of the development of strong compassion, that practice of Tantra would harm rather than help. As a great Tibetan yogi, Lhotak Drukchen said, if one attempts to practice Tantra without having generated compassion, great compassion, and engages in some of these fierce repetitions and so forth, there is a great danger that one would be reborn as one of these bad spirits that seeks to harm beings.
So today, Hindu, Ngāgi Nyamli,
Thus, he emphasized greatly that it's important, extremely important, to have the prerequisites and all the favorable causal conditions for the practice of Tantra. Also, if one doesn't practice well, at the time of Pudun, there was someone who didn't practice well, who attempted to practice the sixth branch application of the Kala Chakra Tantra, and the person's head eventually split open.
And
in Tibet, since we didn't have good facilities for surgery, there was nothing left but to die. Thus, there's great danger if one doesn't practice the yoga of the inner breaths well.
Therefore,
the practice of Tantra is called the practice of secret Tantra, one that must be done in secret and hide
it.
Therefore, it's easy to look at the pictures in a museum, but it's very difficult to engage in the real practice.
Thank you very much.
New York Dharma Datu, October 16th, 1979.
네. 나 중국으로 무슨지? 인창지 투체. 아샤 가보죠.
I'm very happy to have met with Trungpa Rinpoche and with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Samolo. Dengone, Chikasore, Ningji Kunelanga Tane, and Susupet Devotion Shachito, Yahore.
It's very good that you are engaged in great devotion based on compassion.
Now you see the practice of religion, not easy thing. These are external material progress, and these things also achieved through generations, not just within short period. So you see, inner development. Naturally, it will take time, but in case of inner development, there is no possibility to sharing to each other, but just your own effort.
There's no way if somebody else is giving it to you. And there's no way for somebody else to begin it and then you to pick it up.
Everything depends on your own effort. So in this modern time, I think particularly in the United States, the things are moving very, the external things are moving very easily.
You can push a button and it'll be there.
And also you always counting minute, such minute, like 2:23, something like that. You see, always I'm counting. Even minute, even second. People who so much
perhaps people who are so accustomed to such things.
When we
then when we say aeons and aeons, then you probably can't stand it. However, for the progress of the mind, it sometimes takes aeons and aeons. Therefore, it says in the perfection vehicle that the quickest of the times it takes to become fully enlightened is three periods of countless aeons.
Hmm.
In general, it's 40.
Hmm. So, here, you see, I would like to say, because, you see, I say this, it is very important, the determination, or
effort,
the tireless effort in order to achieve inner development is something very important. So at the beginning, when we start certain practice, you should not expect too much. The important thing is, right from the beginning, you must realize the inner development will take time, and gradually it will develop. So I must not lose the regular effort. That sort of, you see, determination is something very important. You see, according to my own experience, inner development take time.
Until now, you've been working very hard, and it'll be great if you keep doing so. Your center is well organized. If
society, the service chia, detang, denyamdolia, sosu ya individually the inner nyamlinchia nyu dinyamdolra kechmuri.
It's very important to have in combination or together the service for society and your own internal progress. The root of the Buddhist teaching is compassion. In society, compassion is very important. Therefore, I think that Buddhist practice is definitely something that helps society.
That's why wherever I go, I always talk about importance of love, compassion, kindness. In my mind, the whole society, human society, is more or less based on compassion or love. Without love and kindness, no possibility. I'm a small child.
Without compassion, it would almost be impossible to survive as a small child.
And also, when we become very old, again, without kindness, very difficult to survive. So, is the basic structure, or basic, nature of our society. It's something like based on love and compassion, kindness.
Therefore, it's extremely important for us to do whatever we can in terms of generating compassion. If one can practice well, it will give one happiness right away and will bring happiness from the depths also in time. And will bring happiness to others also. And you'll be able to wipe out many difficulties.
And
But if you assume the opposite types of attitudes, rough attitudes, coarse attitudes, then then you yourself won't be happy at that time. And it won't help in the future either. And it will make others unhappy. Instead of lessening problems, it will increase them. Therefore, if we think about it carefully, a calm and peaceful mind is the basis of all happiness. Thus, you should take the practice of compassion as your basis. And then, on top of that, adorn it with the ornament of intelligence. Through method devoid of wisdom, you can't make much progress. And through wisdom devoid of method, you also can't make much progress. Therefore, this combination of method and wisdom is extremely important. In terms of the general Buddhist mode of procedure, there are related with this the two truths. As Chandrakirti says, it is independent on the, based on the two truths, one should accumulate the two collections of merit and wisdom through which one can proceed to Buddhahood. With regard to such a union of method and wisdom, there's one is explained in the perfection vehicle and one that's explained in mantra or tantra. And within tantra, that explained in the three lower tantras and that explained in highest yoga tantra. And this is how it is when four sets of tantras are presented, there being other presentations of six and so forth. The word ewam symbolizes method and wisdom. A symbolizes wisdom and wam symbolizes method. From the point of view of the means of expression, there's nothing that's not included in the word ewam. And from the point of view of the objects expressed, there's nothing that's not included within the objects expressed by ewam.
And
One of the meanings of Ewam is Buddhahood itself. Therefore, Ewam is capable of symbolizing the path, what, basis path, fruit? It's easy to talk about Ewam, but very difficult to generate it in one's mental continuum. In any case, there are many different modes of explanation of this undifferentiable unity of method and wisdom. One according to Guhya Samaja, one according to Kala Chakra, one according to the special teaching of Dzogchen. But here, with respect to the general teaching of Gagyu, there, this comes down to the Mahamudra. There are many levels of this, the main of which is to settle the final interpretation. With respect to the view of the final view of Mahamudra, if it is considered by one who has more than just a coarse understanding of the words, but one who has experienced, everyone from any of the orders, Nyingma, Gagyu, Sagya, Gelu, can understand that each system is presenting basically the same thing. You are very fortunate to have the opportunity to meditate or to cultivate the great seal. It's necessary to fully complete the preparatory practices. If you don't finish them well, it's difficult for the actual practice to be successful. That's a rough, short, general explanation of the Buddhist mode of procedure. And you have Trungpa Rinpoche with you, and if you ask questions and clear up your doubts over and over again, everything will be settled. Now, I'm going to bestow the oral transmission of money. For that, it's important to understand roughly the meaning of the six syllables. The syllable Om in Sanskrit is composed of the three letters A, U, and Ma. This symbolizes or signifies the impure body, speech, and mind, and the pure body, speech, and mind of a Buddha.
tati madakwe lunga yisumbu ti takwe ini kasore kusum tuksumli ya kandasini jurgul beslab na ona madakwe lunga yisumda takwe kusum tuksum ti ini dhamme de bachigi gyun tade chigi madakwa de dadu madakwa deya takwa de dadu takwa deya jiri beslab na maare
Can the impure body, speech, and mind be transformed into the pure, or are they something that is entirely separate, not the one being incapable of turning into the other?